Okay, it's time for Spinorama, you know.
Is this a new game we never heard of?
No, no, it's the politicians going out and saying, you know, what you saw last night was either, well, what they're going to tell you is what, or 2 nights ago, what you saw 2 nights ago was really this. The other guy might say, well, what you really saw 2 nights ago was this.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah, there's some of that, too. At a rally yesterday in Virginia, Romney said, why is it there are 3.6 million more women in poverty today than the day the president took office? The president has failed America's women. And what's kind of interesting is, you know, they talked a little bit about women the other night. And in fact, I recall Romney saying that when he was the governor of Massachusetts, University of New York at Albany did a survey of women in high places in state government, and number one in the nation at that time was Massachusetts. So the war on women, which is one of the things that the Democrats have been trying to, the box that they've been trying to put Romney into, at least in that case, it doesn't necessarily show. And from the other side, you know, the Republicans are going to go after Libya and the economy. I don't know if you remember a guy named Major Garrett. He used to work for Fox News. Now he's at the National Journal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. He said there are just a few issues. The women issue for Romney, and again, the economy in Libya for Obama. He also says the president's poll numbers are going down in several states, and his staff has settled on 4 firewall states that they need to get.
Wow.
Yeah. Ohio, Iowa, New Hampshire, and Nevada. And Jamie Dupree, you hear him on Neil Bortz, been doing this kind of stuff for a long time, and he points out this morning, and it's true, you know, that's why we make fun of all the polls. You can come up with a poll that says anything. Well, now we've got 19 days left before the election, and actually where these men spend time speaks to which states are in play, because, you know, places where they were going, one candidate or the other, they may have given up on. The numbers of swing states that Jamie Dupree says he's been watching had been 10. That'd be New Hampshire, Virginia, North Carolina and Florida, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Colorado, and Nevada. So how many of those states will these guys get to in that time? And he asked the question, why is Iowa so important with just 6 electoral votes? And part of the reason is because they've already started voting for president there. So the idea is maybe you could wrap that thing up. But the president apparently pulling back and not spending near as much time now in Florida, North Carolina, and Virginia. Last week, I forget the name of the polling company, but they said they had pulled their pollsters out of those 3 states.
Oh, yeah, I remember we had talked about that.
Saying they're settled. So it's really interesting. And in most cases, a lot of these states should be settled with 19 days to go. But still in all, there are a few in play. And it brings up kind of an interesting situation we've talked about before. Do you win the popular vote and then lose the Electoral College? And if you'll remember back in 2000, when that was going on, Gore did win the popular vote, but he didn't get to be president of U.S. America.
Right.
It was George W. Bush's. So, a presidential model known for its accuracy says that Mitt Romney has a 77% chance of winning the popular vote.
Really?
Yep. That's the popular vote.
The popular one?
That's right. University of Colorado political science professor Michael Berry's formula has accurately predicted every presidential race since 1980. And again, he says that's the popular vote, but he doesn't talk about the Electoral College.
Oh.
Now, there's this group called the Atlas Project, and they came up with a fascinating scenario, and that would be that they tied in the Electoral College. Would you like that?
Do they wrestle for
it? Yeah,
then?
That's what I'd go for. Let's do rock, paper, scissors, or, you know, Indian leg wrestling or something like that.
I don't know. With the hatred that they have for one another,
yeah.
I think we call Jim McMahon and the WWE and just let him go.
Now, what this says is each state's combined House delegation would vote once for president, and each U.S. senator casts a vote for vice president. Well, which is interesting, because what happens if Romney wins president and Biden wins vice president? That can't work.
Very interesting.
I don't think they could do that. I'm not sure. I don't think they could get along. But anyhow, we're not there yet, but nonetheless, it looks to be fascinating.
Biden would be spending a lot of time sent by the president to every subcontinent on the planet.
Go have a beer here, Joe.
Exactly.
Have a beer here. Dude, I tell you what, Joe, if I need you, I'll be in touch with you.
Yeah. Okay?
In the meantime, you can just take it easy. Now, did the election of President Obama actually hurt the level of empowerment felt by many black Americans? As particular, and it's kind of interesting. I mean, you'd think that it shouldn't, but there's a guy who's a government professor and also African-American studies professor named James Gibson. He took national surveys of black empowerment conducted between 2005 and 2011, the years leading up to and during the Obama presidency. And according to those numbers, conservative and religious blacks now feel less empowered to make their political feelings felt than they did before Mr. Obama's election.
Because?
They're saying he isn't protecting their interests.
Really?
And he's marginalizing their beliefs. And I thought, wasn't he supposed to put gas in my tank? And wasn't he supposed to pay my mortgage?
And give you a phone.
Yeah, that's right. And give me a phone. What happened? I thought we were going to do that. Maybe not. Did you hear about it was lead story on Fox this morning. There was a guy who was going to blow up the Federal Reserve Bank in New York.
Yeah, I heard that.
Man, it's fascinating to me. This is a guy, he's 21 years old, said his lone purpose for coming to the United States was to destroy America and felt like he could do that through the economy.
On a student visa.
Yeah, sure, be able to do that. Now, apparently he got linked up in a sting operation. He was dealing with FBI agents all along, so there was no chance that this was going to really happen. How did the FBI catch on to this? How did they know? And it's not really an infiltration. They didn't infiltrate any program because this seemed to be just a lone terrorist. But how did they make the connection with him? And from what I heard on the news this morning, it was going to be a 1,000-pound bomb he was going to use. And, you know, they gave him the bomb. And obviously, it was not going to blow up. There was no danger there. But, I mean, 1,000 pounds. How do you hide a 1,000-pound bomb?
In the back of a Ryder truck.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, and, you know, where are you going to be able to park it close enough to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York that nobody would know about it? Don't know those specifics necessarily, but do find it fascinating that was out there and going on. And, you know, kudos to the FBI for being on top of all that stuff.
Absolutely.
All right, 645.
Thank you.